Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
Welcome to Prevailing Prayers for 2026. This is our year of preparation. This is our month of the undimming sun. And I've been in this space every day for the next throughout the month. We're going to be refocusing, reimagining, redirecting, resharpening all our skills and efforts, but at the same time, we are going to break forth new grounds. We are going to do things that had never been done before. We are going to exploit spiritual corridors into greater access and expansion into the realm of doings, in the capacity that the Holy Spirit has given unto us. To send reminders to everyone supposed to be here, school 20 students especially, and jewels of the season. And we are going to look at scripture. I'd like you to please open your spirits. You've been praying. We've all been praying. I had to relocate from my room into my prayer room for this month. Doesn't mean that I will not see my madam, but this is how important it is to me that I am in this place without any form of disturbance, that I may hear from the Lord. I'm going to be taking you through certain scriptures. I'm going to be very deliberate about the things that I know that God has instructed that we can do so that we will do those things. Several times God will say, oh, you can do these things, and we never get to do them because you can do something is different from doing the thing. Bible says that Isaac had a very huge herd of animals that he inherited from his father. And typical of those who raise animals in the desert, they have to provide water and food for those animals. Bible then said, Isaac knew the wells that his father dug for their animals when his father was alive. His father was Abraham. And so Isaac went to these same wells, hoping that he can continue to use them in order to feed his animals, to give them water. Just like some of us, there are certain old paths that many of us exploit in today's world because we think that's how we get sustenance. Some of us got into medicine because our parents in their time, medicine was very lucrative. Some got into nursing because our parents in their time, nursing was very lucrative. A lot of people choose career paths where they believe they can easily make money. That is the example of these wells proving wells. But there's a big difference between novelty and notoriety. Sometimes you get to be the pioneer in a particular field, and everybody calls you the authority. They come to you for your advice, they pay you for consultancy. They come to you to say, show us the way. You can make a lot of money by showing people the way into the paths which you followed into success. And sometimes that particular aspect of reality may be closed because it will be oversaturated. Today, you are the only doctor, medical doctor in Saudi Arabia. You are earning a lot of money. A lot of people see you buying big houses. They say, what's the secret? You said, I'm not getting taxed in Saudi Arabia. 100% I earning without paying tax. It is a good, solid plan. If I work, I'll be working there for 5 years. I've bought 3-4 houses. Suddenly, everybody wants to come and work in Saudi Arabia. So everybody begins to apply, and before you know it, something that you only used to enjoy, there are now 1,000 doctors in Saudi Arabia, and others that want to come in couldn't gain access. So you see now, so Saudi Arabia has become saturated. And then we begin to exploit other nations, all in a bid to put that medical field earning, to maximize the earning from that medical knowledge. That's what you saw Isaac doing in those scriptures in the book of Genesis, going back to the wells that the father dug, that he will be able to feed these animals. But you'll notice that by the time we would get there, the place was saturated. Other people had begun to use the well. And he particularly had a very large flock, which means once he comes back to that well, those who had been benefiting from it, they would not be able to benefit from it anymore. So those people ganged up against him and they said, no, you cannot drink from this well. So when we read it, it will seem as if they were wicked, but it's a survival of the fittest. And in this world, everybody's got to do what is best for them. And even though his father dug those wells, he had abandoned the wells. Others had taken advantage of the wells. And so when he came there, he said, okay, let's dig it again. Everybody said, no, no, no. If you bring your kind of flock here and you open this well, it is going to be surrounded to us. So you cannot. And the Bible said, he did this in 3 different places. And all those wells were ancient wells that he wanted to open again for a new season. Then the Bible said he got to Rehoboth. There was no well here. So you see now Isaac is defining himself. He was no longer trying to copy his father's formula. Now suddenly he was like, okay, wait. These proven wells we are opening, they were Abraham's wells. What about Isaac's well? Can't I have a well of my own that I will say, okay, I dug this well. I dug it in my own way. I dug it in my own style. I dug it according to the time and the season that I found myself in. I dug it according to the realities of life around my time. I dug it according to the demands of the immediate system. I dug it according to the insight, the divine insight given to me by God. These were ancient wells. Can I dig a modern well? Can I do something different? Can I be innovative? Can I sit down? Can I be innovative? Can I be creative? Can I do something? We spent the whole month in January preparing. We were spending the second month praying, from January meditating. Second month, we are praying throughout the month from morning till night. We don't pray against enemy. We don't waste our time praying that somebody should fall down and die. We don't pray, waste our time. Imagine that we have an enemy somewhere chasing us. We do not waste our prayer time on unproductive, fearful, fear-mongering, and fear-listening activities. We spend our prayer time opening and connecting with the Holy Spirit. We spend our prayer time opening the portals of this divine revelation. We spend our prayer time in the realm of the prophetic, in the corridors of insight, foresight, and the deep wells of wisdom. We spend our prayer time exploring the metaphysical. We spend our prayer time exploring the spiritual. We spend our prayer time in the place of prayer, where our hearts are blossoming and blooming in the realities of the Holy Spirit, and we are in the realm of impossibility. This is where we are. This is where we are. We spend our prayer time sharing the same space with ministry spirit and angels. We are not here for the mundane. We are here to bring heaven on earth. We are here to bring the devices of heaven, to bring the wonders of heaven, to bring the creativity of heaven, to bring them onto the earth, to show the world the wonders that heaven holds by bringing such wonders into the world. To come up with devices, cutting edge devices that are better than your iPhones. To come up with a way of thinking, engineering thinking processes of society, re-engineering the thinking process of society, teaching society how to think. I do that, I do that deliberately. When I notice that the world is thinking in a certain way, I would deliberately come up, I would look at my scriptures and say, no. How do I reconfigure people's thinking? Especially people of a certain age, people from the age of 20 to 34. How do I reconfigure their thinking? How do I plant seeds here and there? And then I begin to come up with all forms of strategies. And then I begin to plant the seeds deliberately. I plant them in the social media deliberately. It would cause a rancor, it would make some people uncomfortable, but I will plant them all the same. I will work on it until the thinking process is aligned with how to think right. You must, as a believer, understand you are not here for the mundane. You are not here for the mundane. You are not here to open ancient wells and drink from the wells that the great grandfathers and the great grandmothers opened. No. No, there are religions that do that. But we don't belong in religion. We know there is more to our God than the heart of sin. A lot of people talk about miracle signs and wonders. They think that is the beginning and the end of God. No, that is not. God is the one who establishes kingdoms. Who establishes kingdoms, who places kings on their throne, is the one who establishes systems by which governments run, is the one that establishes the principle behind the prevailing thinking of every society. He is the one that is in charge of the consciousness, the awareness level of people in every society. He is our God. We are the first line of his touch. We are supposed to be like the foxes that Samson caught, and we are supposed to set the fields of the Philistine where they plant all sorts of woke ideologies, wrong thoughts, wrong thinking, wrong ideas, where we set all those things ablaze. It is our duty to do that. We are supposed to be the firebrand who will burn down every wrong assertions, mountain, stronghold of ideas, of thinking, of reality, of behavior, of consciousness. We are supposed to burn them down as the light by the fire of God. It is our duty to do that. You cannot do that if your argument, your words are obsolete. A lot of us, our words are obsolete. We do not understand how society is thinking now. You know? Say, I cannot connect with them. The Gen Z, no? I cannot connect to them. You have to learn. I don't want anybody to come and insult me. You have to take the insult. You have to be willing to take the body blows. If you are going to force yourself into a space, it will mean that you are going to make some people uncomfortable. They will have to shift for you because you are forcing yourself in. So you have to take the body blows. You have to prepare in your mind that, hey, I'm going to influence generations. If you are going to influence generations, then whatever the dynamics of any generation that is coming up, you have to be prepared. You have to be ready. So I see them built a well at Rehoboth. This well was a fresh, brand new well, built in Isaac's style, built under Isaac's watch, built in a unique new place, built in the name of Isaac. It was the announcement of independence of Isaac from his father. The announcement of the independence of Isaac from his father. This is a mental independence when a child begins to think for himself. And he's no longer saying, my daddy said, what will my daddy do? What will my daddy do? In this case, how will my daddy have solved this problem? There's a child, there's a time a child will think that way, where your primary thinking is just like, if my daddy wasn't here, what would my daddy say in this situation? How would my father think in this situation? But at a point, you would have to evolve and you have to become the central authority where it becomes, this is my judgment. This is my word. This is my decision. And it will have to carry even more punch and more weight than what your father would have done. This is when the Bible said concerning King Solomon, he said, and God established him on every side. All the influence of his father, the aura of his father, the ambience of his father, the glory of his father, the reach of his father, the big shoes of his father. Solomon was able to, in 3 years, consolidate himself, take care of all of David's enemies, establish his government, and then God said there was peace established around him. This is now the era of Solomon. When his son becomes mature to the point where he could say, I'm standing on my 2 feet. This is my word. You don't get there by proxy, and you don't get there by bringing in old ideas and old ideologies. You have to form your own path. David was a man of war. Solomon was a man of wisdom. There were two different realms, and Solomon had to find his own path. He said, no, I'm not going to the direction of my father. In the days of my father, when they want to go, when they want to be rich, they will go to war. The bigger, the stronger nation would spoil the weaker nation, take all their gold, and then they will be saying they are wealthy. He said, I'm not going to follow that path. There will be no war, and I'm still going to be richer than everybody. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to open trade routes. I'm going to bring in gold from Ophir. I'm supposed to open the diplomatic routes with all the other nations because I don't want war. I'm going to have a slave, a labor camp, so that there will be continuous work. And I'm going to sign international agreements with my neighbors so that I can get raw materials from them in exchange for some of the surplus we produce in our own farm. He began to think of new ways. I'm going to export my technology. I'm going to import technology. He imported those who are stonemasons from Lebanon. He told them, he said, hey, you have stonemasons. You have those who know how to do this. You are good at it. Can you send me your laborers? In exchange, I'll send you farmers. We have very good farmers who are good at cultivating certain crops that you don't have. We will exchange ideas. He began to develop new systems to do things. One of the things I learned several years ago was how to learn the rules of a thing so that you can break it. When I was in university, we had a music teacher. If you study communications, mass communications, you have to study a language. It's a compulsory in the Nigerian university's curriculum that there must be a language to be studied as part of mass com certification. So they gave up the option of either you pick French, you pick Yoruba, you pick Arabic, you brought all these languages, and I never liked languages. And then curiously, they also added music. And I was like, what? And they said, yeah, that music is a universal language, that it would give you international foothold. But you have to study it. It has to be the proper British music, where you study crochet, where you start you draw crochet, you do semitone, tone, semitone, and all that. And you do the lines and the sheet, and you can read music. I was like, oh my God. So I picked it. I said, oh, okay, I want to do the music then. One of my lecturers, the main lecturer, said to me, he said, one of the greatest things that you will hear in music today, all the people that you see breaking world records, winning Grammys, he said, they learned the basic of music and then they found creative way to break the rules of music so that those who are listening can hear peculiar and particular sounds per season. He said, in order to break the rules properly, you must at least learn the rules. And I said, wow, I'm going to apply this into my thinking process. This is how society thinks. This is how we have always done something. This is how we have always washed cars. This is how we have always cooked. This is how we have always sewn clothes. And there are ways to break that rule, to then do them in your own unique way. To even invent new ways that everybody will say, this is JSW style. That everybody will say, oh, this is Mobola style. No, they've been doing it this way until Mobola came on the scene and then see what Mobola is doing. It is important that is how you then carve your own niche, make a name for yourself. So today they are talking about alternative current. They are talking about direct current. Then they are talking about, oh, who invented electricity? But everybody has their style. They were harnessing the same energy, but everybody put their unique brand on it. They've been making cars for several years, and then Tesla came and decided, oh, we are going to make cars in another way. We are going to make cars that will not use pyrotechnology. I'm going to make cars that will depend on batteries. We're going to make self-driving cars. We are going to make robotics. And all these things was as a result of breaking rules, not doing things the way people usually do them. Creative thinking. Creative thinking. Thinking out of the box, looking at a particular thing, and then redefining it. Let me say again, cars has always existed. So it wasn't as if the guy reinvented cars. The guy simply reinvented the system that makes cars work. While others continued the old well and they were just like, okay, let's continue. We'll just do the engines quieter. We'll make the engine more effective. They must always use gas. Okay, we can do diesel engine. Okay, we can do kerosene engine. Okay, we can do jet fuel engine. We can do propulsion. Okay, we can. They were thinking of so many ways around the same thing. He said, no, there has to be a way to power the battery. We just have to make batteries that will last long enough that will take the car for several months before it needs to be recharged, and then we need to do the rechargeable system, and then they worked on it. It was one idea, and they pushed it. It didn't redefine cars. It redefined the efficiency of cars. You can be looking at that as okay. You are a tailor. I'm looking at how people have been sewing clothes. Looking at it every season, they will do mini skirts, they will do knee skirts, then they will do the long one, they will do the one that will be fitted, they will do the one that is this, they will do the one that is fit. All of us will think they've exploited all the styles. It's not true. It's absolutely not true. I mean, if I'm into fashion, I will be trying so many things. I have such a mind that I cannot just follow traditional things. I cannot. They are established, so we already know, okay, this is the way to Langudu. Everybody knows that if I'm going to go to Langudu, you have to cross seven rivers. Okay, everybody knows that. But is there a way to shorten the journey to three rivers or two? What if you think this? What if you think this? You must be able to think that way. We must not allow ourselves to become binary thinkers who only accept what they are told and do as they are told. This thing is the bane of all religion. Accepting what you are told and doing what you are told. And that's what the church wants. Prime man, the church are usually, sometimes we'll be friends, sometimes we'll be in conflict. Pastors would like to just spoon-feed you and for you to just say, yes, sir. That kills creativity. That makes Christians lazy in mind. They will not be able to exploit the realms that they needed to exploit. They will not be able to make mistakes. They will not be able to find out the more. They will just stay rooted in what their grandfather or great grandfather did. We could as well be doing Islam. Because that's exactly how Islam also was. Every religion is like that. They will say, this is how our fathers did it. This is how the sons must do it. This is how the grandchildren must do it. But Jesus came and Jesus did not do it the way anybody before him did it. And we all read about Jesus in the Bible. And we are supposed to be like Jesus. That is the essence, the creative light of God that came into this world. He redefined everything. And we shouldn't go back to the way that Jesus said didn't work. We never claim that he may give us religion. He said he came that he may give us life and that that life will be an abundant life. Never forget that. The nature that sets you apart, that makes you unique, that nature is not in your brain or tongue. No, it is in your ability to bring results, to look at a problem and to provide a solution that is different. Now, I was getting a testimony today. I got a call from my brother maybe last week, 2 weeks ago. We were talking about the missionaries that were coming to Newman City for a program. And the call that we had that day was, they are going to do 3 months program. Isn't that a bit of a stretch? That's much. Let's see if we can make it just like 10 days. So my brother said, oh, I'll go talk to them. I'll go see what's going on there. Right. So then he calls this morning and he says, my God, do you remember one of the missionaries last year that his name is Miracle that you prayed for in front of the whole congregation and you told him that when you get to a city, when you get to your post, you are going to see the, he said that guy, he went to Shaki to minister. Oh my God, there was so much power. And then people from Shaki are sending their missionaries down for training. And then Brother Moses, he went to this particular place. And people from where Brother Moses went to sent their missionaries down for training. And then people from other places, they sent their missionaries down. They wanted their missionaries to be like our missionaries. I said, my God, we cracked the code. We cracked the code. I never saw. Oh my, it is important that you exploit new ways of doing things. That you don't allow your brain cells to die of boredom because your life will become monotonous when you do things the same way over and over. And especially because it is proven to work, does not mean that is the only way by which this thing can work. So you see, creative thinkers, they will build a house today, they are using asbestos. Tomorrow, they are thinking of POP. Next tomorrow, they are thinking of, oh, we want to use feather. Next tomorrow, everybody is thinking of, they are inventing new things every day. Do you know what we do? We wait for them to invent. We then learn the new style from them. It's what Africans do. Africans generally do not like creative thinking. the way we were wired by the colonial masters. They basically trained the genes of our forefathers. They trained that genes into submission in such a way that we have very submissive genes. Very submissive genes. I'm talking Africa generally. Our genes are very submissive. When we see a white person, when we see an Asian, immediately because of the slant of the genes and the prejudicial worldview of the whole world, immediately we feel inferior. Our genes have been taught to think inferior. So we just wait for them to make decisions. And then when they've made the decision, they've made the breakthrough, when they've done the invention and they've built the factories and they've invented, they've done, we will just look for money, go and buy, learn from them how they did it, and then and then we will then start doing it. We do not want to pioneer things. We do not want to be the one telling the Caucasians, oh, this is my idea, come and learn from me, you know? And that is as a result of a programming that I find to be very distressing. That we can have billions of people in this continent, and the way of learning is one-sided. Do you know that everybody from Africa who says they want to study, wants to study, they go west. Most, some go to China, but most will go to the west. I'm going to London to study. I'm going to America. I'm going to London. I'm going to America. Do you know those who are making Americans and all these people come to Nigeria? If I tell you, you'd be shocked. Traditional worshippers. Traditional, adherent of traditional worship in Nigeria are the only ones that white people are coming to learn from. So everybody, everybody goes west. They send their children, oh, my children will go to America, my children will go to London, my children. So again, and that thing continues to cycle from generation to generation. From generation to generation, we've come to see them as demigods. We've come to see ourselves as those who can benefit from them. And then we do not even think in ourselves that there has to be something I have to offer. There has to be something I have to offer. They must come to me. What's that not what the scripture says? It says that kings will come, that queens will come, that nations will come to me. And when we were meditating on Isaiah in the beginning of the month, and I shared the scriptures, I said, meditate on these scriptures. Look at these scriptures. It's not talking, it is talking about you. It's not talking about a particular race. It's talking about you, that people must come to me. I must be the center of gravity. They must come to me. Now, how are they going to come to me? In the uniqueness of what I do, when I write, the way I will write, people must come into my DM. They must come from London, they must come from America, and they are not, they must be from other races, and they must say, wow, I've never seen such a thinker as yours. Where did you study? What did you study? Can we talk? Can we heat up on WhatsApp? Can I FaceTime you? I just want to see the person behind this. There has to be a unique way. People have been writing from ages. But I couldn't write the word that people write. I can't. It would be too ordinary in my understanding. It would be too ordinary for me. And I hate ordinary. Now I'm challenging us. I'm bringing us a challenge. In this season, we are young here. Yeah? We are young. We can fiddle. We can play. We can tinker. We can tinker. We can reset. We can afford one or two mistakes here and there. But the one thing we shouldn't do is play it safe. The one thing we shouldn't do, we shouldn't do that. One would think that when Nigeria started the Pentecostal churches, where we are no longer under the mind control of the Orthodox churches that came from white countries and who received instructions from Canterbury and from Rome and from Southern Baptist Convention America on how to teach us, what to teach us. So when Nigerian pastors and ministers began to come out with the Holy Ghost and they began to start their own churches independent of Western influence and our governing system, one would think that that would then help us to also break forth into independent thinking in arts, in culture, in sciences, in technology, in fashion. One would think that that son that broke out, that that son would have healing in his wings, would have wonders in his wings. Because that's how it's supposed to happen. The son of righteousness shall arise with wonders in his wings. When Jesus arose, he changed the whole pattern. The wonders in his wings were the apostles. They were wonderful. They changed. The Bible said they turned the whole world upside down. Because there was a way the world was working. There was a way the world was programmed to work. And then these guys came on the day of Pentecost. Aya, Hatiabe, Egoma, Adibiakos, Shantabia, Raminia, Totia, Hoshatibidikeanosa. Aya. There's somebody on this call, listen to me. You have four eyes. There's somebody here. You have four eyes. There are two eyes. You are not in control of these two eyes. But these two eyes, you suddenly realize you had them. And they make you see things that are beyond. That is like they are driving you crazy. When you sleep, you are awake. You'll be sleeping, but when you sleep, those two eyes will open. And then you begin to see things, all sorts of strange things, horrible things, sometimes demonic things. And then when you wake up, you realize, I was awake, I was asleep, because your eyes then open, and then it has been a strange reality for you. And you're on this call. Hear me. Right this minute, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I shut those two eyes. I shut them. I take their power and influence away from you. I give you peace in your mind, in the name of Jesus. I give you peace in your mind. You will no longer be afflicted by this strange sight. You are set free, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. So I was talking about the uniqueness of our thinking. Why we cannot afford to say, hey, this is how they do things. That is therefore how we will do things. If people do not push the boundaries of creativity, we will still be riding horses instead of driving cars. Somebody's got to think. And if it is not, if the dominant thinking is not coming from us in Africa, then there is something wrong. We have the youngest population in the world. Therefore, and the youths are the custodians of innovation. When America had the youngest people in the world in the 40s, in the 50s, they came up with all sorts of inventions in quick succession. They were always going to patents, to the office to do patents for their invention. Men, women, children, they invented. The average American society will produce, out of 20 people, one will be an inventor. May not invent a car, but somebody will invent something. They will invent pins. They will invent buttons. They will invent. When I was reading through the list of people that were creative who invented things, they were in their thousands per generation. One lady invented clip of tie. Another one invented the clip for the flowers and the boots. Another one invented on a suit. Five or six people invented different things that we put on the suits that men wear. And they patented it on suits. Not to talk of skirts. Not to talk of household appliances. Somebody invented the mop. Somebody invented the broom that you use to sweep. Africans will just go get a coconut leaf, remove the whatever, tie it together, they'll be sweeping. Somebody said, no, this is not good enough. Invented new. There are different kinds of brooms invented by different kinds of people, and none of them had patents for it. It shows a society that is always forward thinking, where people are always trying to find a solution so that they can make a name for themselves. Oh my. If I'm talking to you today, can I see your hand? Can you hear me? Are you understanding me? Thank you. It is time we become forward thinking. Set apart. Set apart. You know, when they say, Agazo, Agazo, people always think in terms of, oh, I just want to carry an 18. I just want to carry an 18. Come on, come on. You cannot impact a generation only spiritually. That's why they always say, oh, all our thinking is programmed towards, Agazo, Agazo. I should have a church where there are 10,000 members. I should have a church where there are 5,000 members. So everybody wants to be a pastor in the name of, oh, when you are elected, you must do something for God. And then at the end of the day, because we do not broaden our perspective, our thinking. Somebody invented a particular health drink, energy drink. He was looking for investment. One of the Arsenal ex-players. All of them are buying cars, they were buying all these things, houses, they were spending their wages on frivolities. This young man said this morning, didn't live beyond his means. When that person invented this drink, no, I tell people, those who study sciences, who will be mixing MH2 plus MH4, the number of products that can come from your ability to tinker with chemicals are so many. A lot of people will just go and create ecstasy, create all these bad drugs, begin to sell them. But there are also good things that can come from it. One of them was studying human body, how they can gain energy, how it affects the cell, and he came up with a particular formula, but he needed money to mass produce and register it in the UK. And he went to this Arsenal player. The guy put in a little money, not much, maybe 60 million pounds. He's a billionaire now. That drink became the world's number one among athletes. Everybody's buying them by in bulk. Why? Because somebody sat down and said, we used to drink this particular, but can I just tinker with it? Can I change it a little? Will it be more beneficial if I just remove the little sugar, remove the little this, and add a little this, add a little that? Would it help the... Somebody just sat down and thought of it. And then the person found backing. And then the person, now the company is estimated to be number one in producing these healthy drinks for athletes. That's creative thinking. You have to find a way to redefine the ordinary, to redefine the ordinary. It is not for lack of ability. We are actually very educated in Africa. If you look at it, the problem we have is that you cannot be more educated than the person that taught you. Most of us have Western education, and so we do not believe we can outthink the original owner of Western education. So if we think that we will always follow them, we also always be at their back, you know? So you cannot out-act an actor. So they are the owner of the science. You have gone to learn it. So you have to wait for their publications. When they break new ground, you will then read it 3 years, sometimes 10 years later. Their invention, they would have an invention abroad, and I would travel abroad, I would see the invention. I'll be saying to myself that this invention will get to Nigeria in 10 years' time. I'm not kidding. I know that it is always 10 years. They will, when they started the electric car and they began to use Tesla all over Europe, and I traveled, I saw Teslas. I gave it 10 years. I said, in 10 years, Tesla will be in Nigeria. Electric cars will be in Nigeria in 10 years. Because that's always the gap. We wait until they finish using their own. When they want to sell it second hand, that's when we will get it. You see the problem. So I know that the cycle of their cars is always 6 to 7 years and then 10 years cycle. So most of them will use a 10-year car. Once the car hits 5 years, they begin to sell it off. And then by 10 years, most of that set of cars will come to Africa. Then they begin to buy new ones. So I told myself, I said, in 10 years' time, we'll begin to see Tesla on the street of Lagos. Anyways, we begin to see electric charging pods. We begin to see this, we begin to see that. And precisely, it began to happen. They are already coming in now. The hotel where I sleep in Lagos, now they were forced to have a charging pod there now. And then all those in the car that comes there to charge. And that's how it will happen. That's how it always happens. The cycle. We're always 10 years behind. Now there are flying cars. There is none in Africa yet, but there is flying car in China, there is flying car in America. In the next 2, 3 years, we begin to have flying cars that people are using all over. Then we have to wait 10 years to get our own first flying car in Nigeria. Everybody will want to blame the government. It's not the government. We should innovate. We should refine our thinking. We should stop drinking from ancient wells. We should start drinking from the wells of our innovation as believers. It is not for lack of access. It is not. In JSWMI, we have what we do is spiritual engineering and re-engineering of the consciousness. We have, when you come to PSSPC, 3 months, you have learned your reality in Christ. By that time, you've learned how to pray. You've learned how to prophesy. You've learned how to give word of knowledge, how to open up the spiritual space in you so that you can connect with God directly, how to deal with mundane issues, how to command, how to restore, how to rebuke the devil, how to call forth resources. You've learned all these things. These are basic Christianity. I say that all the time. Some of the things that some people are preaching for a lifetime, that's basic 3 months. Baby, when you are looking at the book of Hebrews and he said that, so there's some of you that you are supposed to be teachers now, you are yet being fed with milk. That's it. That all the I speak in tongues, baby level Christianity. I speak in tongues. Oh, I raise the dead, baby level. That is Nepios level knowledge. That's the truth. When you are going to move from Nepios to Technon, you begin to see visions. That means now you have a spiritual consciousness. In spiritual consciousness, you begin to see vision, you write it down, you are seeing heaven, you are seeing Abraham, you are seeing all these people, you are seeing biblical realities come to life. Now it's no longer about food or drink. Now you have a consciousness of God and a supernatural ability to do things that are beyond the mundane. Or sit. I've been maybe praying or writing. My wife coming. I saw a vision yesterday. This is what I saw. This is what I saw. And I'll just smile. And then I'll get on my phone and people will send me all the things they've seen. Oh, but I mean, guys, I saw this vision. But I mean, guys, I saw this vision overnight. And I had that hundreds were coming. That is because they've gone beyond the basics. Now they are no longer. Well, before I met them, they will say, hey, somebody is chasing me in a dream. I was fighting somebody in a dream. Somebody is biting me in a dream. But I mean, I had this horrible nightmare. But after PSSBC, all those things will die off. So the consciousness shifts from negative, soulish sight into the spiritual sight. They then begin to see things as God ordained for the spirit of God in us to open our eyes to see. And so they begin to see visions. And in these visions, some of them, they begin to reveal secrets. Say, Abraham, God said there is mineral resources in this place, in this country, in this particular place. God said there is a lot of mineral resources. This a lot of, when you see the mysteries that people will share with me, God said this thing will cure cancer. God said this will be this. God said this will be this. And then everybody begins to work on it. And that is just second level. That is second level. And that is the creative level. That's where I'm bringing us to now. Because there is a third heaven, there is a third level where you become a heroes, where you become somebody that is already living the life, doing the thing, doing it, not somebody doing it like you are in it, not just seeing it, but actually doing it and surrounded by the evidence that you are doing it. In such a manner that you become master of your own destiny. You are not looking at, oh, I want this pastor to endorse me so that I can minister in their church. You have gone beyond all that. You have gone beyond the accolades of men. You have your own nation. You have your own nation, the nation that cannot be torn down, that cannot be broken to pieces, for the power of God has built it and is enlarging it. And that is where you are going, and that is when you become, this is my beloved son. The second time that God will say that to Jesus was when Jesus has fulfilled his ministry. God said, this is my beloved son. In whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. The first time, Jesus was just getting baptized in the pews. This is my beloved son. In whom I am well pleased, John the Baptist. But after he did everything that he should do by the Spirit, and God was looking at him, God was like, wow, this is indeed my Spirit. See the way this young man, see the way he will take on religion and tear it to pieces. See the way he take tradition and tear it to pieces. See the way he's redefining reality, redefining how things ought to be done. Changing how things were done into how things ought to be done, and then establishing it in people who he was training that they could do those things. Then you get to the third point, and then you begin to have journeys to heaven. Apostle Paul, Peter, all of them, we saw firsthand their journeys to heaven. They had gone beyond the first level, they had gone beyond the second level. Now they have gone beyond, and then they are gone above and beyond, into the heavens, where they begin to see mysteries that cannot be uttered in mere words. A lot of us say, but I want to see heaven. I say, the thinking is shallow, no creative thinking, no job, or maybe small job just to keep body and soul together. The mind is not open to all its possibilities yet. Some people, they are only using 10% of or 2% or 3% of their brain at the age of 30-something, 40-something. There is no fullness of capacity in the usage of your intellectual ability. Because you are, they've set a path and you are just following the path, so you cannot even forage into any other place. And it's a very, very, very unique way of thinking that everybody has charted a course and they just tell you ahead, just follow that course. You don't look to the right, don't look to the left, you don't use your brain, just follow my own brain ahead. Your brain is to follow my instruction, your own brain is not to chart a new course. That is a very wrong way of thinking. That is the African way of thinking, but that's a very wrong way of thinking. Where everybody wants you to think the way they think, but you have a brain, and your brain is supposed to also show you, but no, don't use your brain. Don't use your brain. But I mean, guys, use my brain, guys. Use your pastor's brain, but don't use your own. And your pastor may not be as educated as you are, which is funny, or may not be as smart as you are, may not be as wise as you are, may not even be as spiritual as you are, may not know God half of what you know, but because he's pastor and you are the laity, then your brain has to be suspended because he has to think for you. All those things, you have to put an end to it. You have to tell yourself, God has given me, has anointed me to do great and mighty things in my generation. He has set me apart, so that I can show forth his glory, the excellency of his glory to the world. This is why I'm here in this generation. This is why I have come. I didn't, people have been making money before I came, so I didn't come to make money. But I've been building houses before I came. I didn't come to build houses. I came to re-engineer a generation. I've come that the will of God that is written about me may be done, that the thinking of generations may shift. And that the ship is not going to be superficial. It's going to actually reverberate and change how people do things, how they think, how they talk, where they go. It will just be a switch. So stay with us for the month of February. As you pray in tongues, take your eyes away from mundane things. I pray for 1 month. Simply so that God can give me this person, this contract. Pay for 1 month to get a contract. There is more. There is more that is far beyond survival. More that is far beyond that, far beyond feeding yourself or living from hands to mouth. There is more. There is more beyond. I want to drive a good car. There is more. And it is in you to bring out that more. The power to bring it out is in you. This is your synthesis in this season, in this day. This is your thinking. Thank you, Father. All right. So every time you come out to teach like this, there's always an instruction. Every time we come out for, the Lord will tell us that we must take care of the poor and the needy in society. We've been doing this for 2-3 years. So it's time to give your prophetic service offering. It is not going to the ministry. We have the widow's ministry. And it is my intention that this year we make sure that they don't struggle financially so that the widows are well taken care of. So I'm going to ask you, in obedience to the word of God, to make sure that you give something. This is charity, charitable offering. It's not to anybody, but you must, if you have, you must give it. And you must not give your worst. Not because I said it's charitable offering, you might give what you cannot afford to give your dog. As you give, the word of God says, I shall bless you. I'm going to give daily like this till the end of the teaching, so that we do not come to the house of the Lord empty-handed, and that we might know that our gathering is in fulfillment, in the obedience, fulfillment, and obedience to the word of God. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Your mind is open. Your eyes are opened by the Holy Ghost. You experience the fullness of the power of God. You have brain wave, what they call a brain wave. What they call a brain wave. Your brain just opens. Your mind just opens. You have supernatural ideas, and these are executable ideas, not the ideas that will die on paper. Ideas that will not sleep, that will be calling forth investors and investment unto themselves. You look at the way they do things and you change them. You just begin to develop new patterns of thinking, new ways of thinking, new ways. It is what it is in this season. We are set apart so that we can do things like this. We can create things like this. We can usher fresh lines of income, fresh ways of bringing in fund, fresh ways of making money, fresh ideas that nobody has seen before. We just bring them out. And as we bring them out, we're able to uphold the kingdom. We're able to say that by the Spirit, we are doing things that had never been done before, that we are changing destinies, we are changing lives, that we are not ordinary. We can see it and people can see it. It's not just I'm not ordinary by healing the sick and raising the dead. I'm also not ordinary in the way I think. I think in a unique way. My thinking and my God has, like Enoch, God has given me the kind of thinking that is defying gravity. That is defying the way things are done. Like Jesus, I'm challenging the mundane, bringing an end to the terrible and the simple. I'm bringing to wonderful solutions in the realm of the internet, in the realm of technology, in the realm of science, and I'm ushering in by the Spirit wonderful solutions. My thinking is so unique. Kings will come. They will say, JSW, what do we have to say? We need your inputs. They will send helicopters. They will send jets. We are going to bring him to the United Nations. Let him come and talk to us about how to stop this woke virus. And we know that he has a solution. For God, the Spirit of God is in him. The Bible said that to Daniel in Daniel chapter 5. For the Spirit of God is in him. He is anointed to solve problems like this. Thank you, Father. I give you glory, Lord. I bless everyone, and I declare that you will just notice the change. And you will not be afraid of it. You will embrace it and it will take you further. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the blessing of the Lord on earth and shout glory.
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 Glory.